What's good, y'all? It's your boy, Stephen Malcolm, and you are tuning in to Numa Godcast. Let's go!
This is Ken, and you're listening to Numa Godcast, the urban voice of Christian podcasts, kicking something new every week. Subscribe today.
This is Cruz Cordero, and I want you guys to do what I do. Listen to the Numa Godcast.
What's good, Numa family? Do you subscribe to or believe in what we discuss on Numa Godcast? If you do, while I got your attention, hit that subscribe button. It'll mean a lot to us. Peace.
In any type of arena needs to be concerned about is, are you doing what the Lord said? And after that, you know, being, you know, wise with how you, you know, promote what the Lord has for you to do. Because, I mean, like I say, I tell people this all the time. You know, the scripture says there was a poor wise man. This is in Ecclesiastes. It said there was a poor wise man who had the answer to what was going on in the situation that they needed to, they were faced with. But because he was poor, his words could not be heard. So the bottom line is, just because you have wisdom doesn't mean it's going to be heard, especially if you don't have the means behind you to be able to get your word out there. And so that's one of the things about, you know, promoting the thing that people need to think about and realize is that promoting is not the problem. Because if that was a problem, then Jesus wouldn't have told us to go out into the world and make disciples, because that's promoting the gospel. So promotion is not the problem. The problem is what people, when they're promoting something, what is their motive behind the promotion? That's what's really the question, you know, at hand. And so that's the thing where, you know, if a person has a pure heart in what they're doing, and they're promoting because they're like, listen, people need to hear this. God put this in my heart to get this out there for a reason, and this is a very impactful message or whatever. And as far as I'm concerned, anything that God has ever done was meant to increase and to go get bigger and to grow. So now that leads me to this question. You are now you're a strength trainer and all those kind of things with conditioning and whatnot. What got you into doing that, and was that always something that you were doing all along, or was it something that you started to look at because you were thinking, you know, I don't think that this is going to, Christian hip hop is going to be, you know, sustaining me the way I need it to or whatever. Like, what was the reason behind that?
Yeah, so growing up, I was always, an athlete, always played sports, always a fan of sports. And I was always, so I'm 5'9 now. When I was, and barely, when I was in my freshman year of high school, I want to say I was like 5'1", 105 pounds. I grew my sophomore year. I gained some weight. I started lifting around my junior year of high school and started filling out a little bit. But so I was always like skinny and wasn't, you know, just naturally strong or anything like that. And I took a liking to training because I could see how if I put in this certain work, I could start to transform my body. And so when I had to get a major, I pick a major in college, I was like, man, I really am fascinated by this and training. And then I realized, man, I want to be able to help out other athletes. I had some coaches in high school that really, I didn't think were, I respect them, but I don't think they were very good in the aspect of teaching. And so I come from a family, my dad's a teacher, my mom's a professor. Even my older brother, Tim, you know, he teaches the word. And so I come from a family of teachers, and the coaches, some of the coaches I had in particular, one basketball coach, he was more of a yeller. He was more of a, hey, you're doing this wrong and this wrong. And so I got into coaching because I had a passion for it, and also because I wanted to help athletes through teaching them, not just ridiculing them. And that was what I studied in college at the University of Delaware, and then I went on to get my master's at Temple University, and this was simultaneous to me rapping. So just to be honest, I never, and I would advise all the younger listeners, don't abandon your day, don't quit your day job, so to speak, just for Christian hip hop. Because I'll tell you what, especially now with streaming, and just for those that don't know, before you would sell CDs in person and online, people actually had to buy your album. And then iTunes came along. I want to say I remember that being around like 2008, 2009 or so. It might have been a little earlier, but people would buy your album on iTunes so they could play it on their iPod or on their eventually on their phone. Then streaming came along, I want to say 2015, 16, and really took over to the point where you see literally fractions of pennies from a stream. And so the amount of money that you can make in Christian hip-hop has diminished, especially with COVID. There's no in-person shows, at least in most areas right now. I would go to say there's probably 10 to 15 artists that do it full time that make enough to support a family. And I know that might sound like a small amount, but I know a lot of guys who have big followings, and especially now with the streaming, they have a job. So for me, it was always simultaneous. I never expected Christian hip hop to be the thing that, you know, paid all the bills. Now, it's always nice when you make some money off of it, and I've been blessed to be able to. But to be honest, I put that money back into making more music 90% of the time. I'm putting that back into studio time or videos or graphics or whatever. So, yeah, it's been simultaneous. I love what I do. I love training athletes. I love helping make them better. I like being able to have that as a mission field to, I'm not going to say 100% of the time, but I play Christian hip hop for my athletes. I expose them to that. They know that I rap. They follow me on social media. They see the videos that I put out. And I've had some great conversations throughout the years, even teaching Bible studies on campus sometimes. Just in as part of that influence that I'm able to have in that athletic community.
So I had to say, man, like I definitely agree that people should have at least something that they're doing in the meantime or whatever before they try to do something else full time. Let's say specifically if it's like ministry type of thing. But the thing that I've always felt like is that whatever it is that God calls a person to, there's going to be provision in it. And I feel like even there's seasons. Now, I also understand that everybody is not going to be exactly the same with it. But when I think about the Old Testament, how, you know, you had the Levites that were in the temple, and they were, that was their job or whatnot, but they were also being taken care of through that. I just feel like there's, to a degree, it's like, it shows, to me, it shows that there's a shame that goes with this whole thing about how the church has treated Christian hip hop. Because if you think about it, worship singers or people that are doing, you know, choir music or whatever, those kind of people, they're making money. They're being able to survive and just do that. So why is it that Christian hip hop artists are not able to do that for the most part? To me, that says that they're being treated like a stepchild. And that bothers me because I feel like, you know, it's a slap in the face to those people like yourself who have been putting in the time that they've been putting in, the work and all that kind of stuff, to say that, okay, this cannot be something that I would do full time without having a job as a backup. You feel me? So, although
I would love it. I would love that. Yeah, I'm just saying, as far as like this practical wisdom with it for me right now, I don't think it would be wise. Now, if the Lord shall tarry, and it, you know, there is the following increase, the sales increase, I do think that the nature of music in general, so not just even Christian hip hop, even in secular hip hop, the ability to make money off of music has gone down in the last 5 to 10 years as well. But yeah, that would be super dope if that happened. I'm not saying for younger artists to not aspire to that. It could definitely be a possibility. I'm just saying there is some wisdom in like not quitting everything you have going on and saying like, yeah, I'm a full-time rapper and you're making, you know, $300 a month.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah, I agree with you on that, bro. Definitely. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I think that there's wisdom in doing that and building to a point where a person could do that. Now, I noticed that you did a song with somebody that I know and who has performed at my show called Word Life Cafe, Bido. You did a song with Bido. And I was just curious, man, how did you and Bido connect?
So, shout out Bido. I met Bido, I want to say, in Philly. I can't remember when, but I know it was probably around like 06, 07-ish. And it was either in Philly or there was a show in Baltimore, and he was a young up-and-comer who was very he has a lot of fervency, like, for the Lord and for rapping and like just for lyricism. And then Bido and I, he was on a song on the Perseverance mixtape called You Want Jesus, and I remember we went to, so two of the conferences I forgot to mention, you know, there was Rap Fest, Later Fest, but there was also Legacy, that was in Chicago, and Impact, I want to say, was like around, I want to say like D.C., or one year it might have been Atlanta, but I remember this was back when, I like watching battle rap, Bido liked watching battle rap, and so this was back when battle rap was actually freestyle, and it was over beats. And so, like, we would be at different shows. I remember we were at Impact one year and just going back and forth, tag team freestyle. So he would feed off of what I was saying. So if I just said something, like, he would feed off what I was saying, then Bido would come in and be like, yeah, we men of faith, that's why we're praying. So, like, he would rhyme with whatever word I ended off my freestyle with, and then we would just go back and forth for a minute. And he's a dope spitter, man. I know he's doing some acting stuff.
Yeah,
he's had some, you know, he's had some viral videos, like, you know, battling his baby and, you know, different funny stuff like that.
Yeah,
but he definitely got some bars.
Yeah, man, that's what's up, man. I met him when he was 16 years old, and I know he was just pretty new to the scene at that time, and that was a couple of years before I actually started my event. But I knew I wanted to stay in touch with him, man, and I stayed in touch with him. And then when I started my event, by that time, I think he started to have some music out, and he came and rocked the mic, man. I remember when I had my one-year anniversary, and the place lit up when he got on the mic, man. It got so amped. And then I had, like, several cats there. I had Corey Redd there. I had Young Josh. And I had Bido and, you know, a lot of other people. Sister D.
I was probably there, too. I might not have been rapping there, but I might have been there. Because I used to go to all those type of events, man. Even if I wasn't rapping, I would just go and go and hang out and see other cats spit. I might have even been there.
Oh, that's crazy if you were. That would be real crazy. Yeah, man. But so I know that for the future, you definitely, I know you're still doing music and everything, but I want to know if you feel like you kind of got an idea of where things are going for you as far as like what the Lord wants you to do in the future, whether it be with your music or with, you know, the strength training, that kind of stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to predict the future, but I think we can try and, you know, plan and have preparation. I would say that I do want to continue to make music. One of the things as an artist, and I was telling someone this recently, is once you've been rapping for a certain amount of years, when you go to write your raps, you're like, yo, did I rhyme this with this already? Did I rhyme this? And I'm big on, to me, what the writing is super important. Like what I'm rhyming with in the rhyme structure and the craft of like thinking of stuff to rhyme with that I've never rhymed before. That is super important to me, because to me what makes a lyricist dope is if you can be unique in rap stuff that other people can't think of to rap, right, or rhyme.
Yeah, yeah.
So I still think that there's more words out there and phrases that I have not rhymed and topics that I want to cover that I do want to write about. Sometimes I wonder as far as in the future – like one issue that I think doesn't get talked a ton about, like in hip hop, in Christian hip hop, is like relationships and like dating and things like that. And so in certain realnesses of the heart or heartbreak, I know like in secular, especially like in R&B and stuff, that's very popular. But like I kind of could possibly see going down a path that has some creative songs in that regard. But yeah, I want to keep on making music for the Lord. I am a collegiate Division I strength and conditioning coach. If doors would open, and I've had interviews like at the NBA level or something at the NFL level, that would be super dope. And yeah, so that's kind of like, as far as other stuff is concerned, as far as ministry, I want to continue to be faithful to my church, faithful in attendance at church, faithful in prayer group. And I also think there's an importance for men's fellowship and importance to be real and transparent with other men. So yeah, that's kind of as far as the future I can try to plan. Those are some of the ideas and the direction I would like to go in.
Well, I like that. And there's something that you brought up that makes me think. I know that earlier you made a statement that was somewhere along the lines of, you know, when you write songs, are you writing them to talk about, are you talking less about Jesus or whatever and more about, you know, other stuff that'll get your streams up or something like that? And it made me think, I'm wondering, like, so when you think about writing music as a Christian rapper, do you think that, because I know some people that you are friends with that think differently about what I'm about to say, but do you think that for you specifically that you only will write things that are just talking about, like, Jesus or spiritual things all the time instead of talking about life or talking about real, you know, situations that people face and then, you know, kind of just speaking on how you feel about it. But being that you have a Christian mindset, then obviously – you know, the way that you talk about it will be different from somebody in the world. For instance, I have a poem that I wrote about abortion. Now, the poem is not talking about Jesus, so obviously I'm not going to be, well, I guess there might be somebody out there that might find a way to just put Jesus all through a poem like that, but I didn't. But the way I did it was, the way the message comes out, you know that I'm telling you that the life of an unborn child is precious, so don't take it. So obviously behind that is the spirit of a believer who's going with what the Lord says about abortion. But in that song, or in that rhyme, that poem rather, it's not like I'm coming out necessarily. I mean, I do say in the beginning, God gave me a message to protect unborn babies. So that's how I started. But even still, you know what I'm saying? Do you feel like your songs or songs of Christian hip hop artists have to always be, it's always about Jesus / you know, telling a Bible story or whatever? Like, I'm just trying to understand, like, how you think.
Yeah. I would say, I think if I look at my own music, there's been, like, I have a song with someone I know you said was one of your guests, Jafai Life. It's called Suicide. And on the song Suicide, we're addressing that. That's a big issue in the world. That's an issue amongst Christians, unbelievers, is people taking their own lives and feeling like, hey, there's no more hope. Because what I've realized, and I've had thoughts of suicide before, people would often think, oh, it's because you hate yourself or you have low self-esteem. Not necessarily the case. You want the pain to end. And so what is something that we can look forward to from a Christian perspective? We can have hope in the suffering because we know that Christ is with us. So that song was a song dealing with a real issue dealing with real pain. But it's just like your song with abortion. It's written from a Christian perspective or a biblical worldview. And I do believe in the end of that song, I pointed people to Jesus. But it's talking about real issues. So I think we have a freedom and a liberty in Christ to talk about different issues from a biblical worldview. You also, like, I have a friend, he's a pastor, and he's super sound with his theology. He made a song about how he loves coffee on one of his albums. I think you have the freedom to do that. I think I have the freedom, if I wanted to make a song about being a strength and conditioning coach and I didn't mention Jesus in that song, I think I have the freedom to do that. Or if you have the freedom to talk about, you know, doing podcasts and you didn't mention Jesus in that song, like the book of Esther doesn't mention God. Now, I don't want people to get this twisted. I am an advocate for us to be bold. I am an advocate for us to spread the good news of the gospel and our faith. But I do think that there is freedom to express ourselves and have some liberty there. Now, for me, red flags go up if you never mention Jesus, you never mention the faith, you never say Jesus is the only way, you're scared to talk about sin. That's when I might start to have an issue and start questioning your motives a little bit, like, what's really going on here, you know? But you know, you have a song here, you have an album here, you overall. And I had a discussion with another brother one time. He's like, well, that's not my job for me to check their motives. And he's right. You know, we can't just assume another person's motives. We can question and say, I wonder what's going on. But it's not our job to badmouth that person because they're not talking about Christ as much as we would like. And oftentimes with that whole debate and argument, people will say, like, you know, I don't got to say Jesus 30 times. Like, I know people who are super big advocates for there to be Christ-centered music, and none of them sit there and count how many times a dude said Jesus. But what they may say is, like, hey, I want to hear at least something about the solution. So I'm kind of big on that. To be honest, like, if all your songs are just dealing with the problem and you don't have a solution, meaning the solution is Christ. How do people get saved? Is through Christ and Christ alone. If you're never able to give that, I question that a little. But at the end of the day, we have freedom. We have liberty. I don't think we should split hairs the way that we have in the past to rhyme about different topics. Because sometimes, even now, as myself, you know, I feel a certain pressure sometimes. My name is Believing Steve, and I have songs about, you know, album titles, The Suffering Servant, or Give Glory to Christ, Glory Thieves is out. Like, oh, well, if he doesn't give the, you know, talk about the death, burial, resurrection in this song, like, man, we might get on him because we expect this out of Believing Steven. And I think that's where a lot of cats have kind of shifted gears in the last several years. They felt that pressure, and it got to be a bit much for them, and they wanted to rap about other stuff. And I get that to an extent. I think we have some freedom to do that, and I think the fans and supporters, they should give some grace, but at the same time, I think it's okay to have a little bit of curiosity and wonder about the motives. Because I've also seen the motives be bad. Yeah, and want more sales, and then eventually abandon the faith completely. I've seen that. I've seen the drifts happen many times.
Yeah. I know of a few people who I wonder about now because of that kind of thing. And, you know, they're not doing what they used to do in their early days, and it bothers me a lot. But I guess I would ask that out of those kind of people that you've seen, I mean, do you feel like there's any of them that has the potential? I mean, I guess we go say that about anybody. If they're alive, they have the potential to come back to the faith. But as far as like some people that are, you know, they fell off for some reason and they're out there doing whatever, have you had conversations with some of those kind of cats and seen where there's hope there, or do you feel like it's just like once they've gone, they're done?
I think as long as someone is living and breathing, there's always a hope that they'll be brought back to repentance. And I also, I believe once saved, always saved, if you're saved. In other words, that if someone is truly saved, then we will know them to be in the faith in the end. And that the Lord will cause circumstances where that person is going to be drawn back. And so I think there's a patch. They went out from us because they were not truly of us. I think there's others who have faded and fallen off because they looked like a good fruit. They looked like they had, you know, Christ and Christianity and following Christ, but they really didn't. And so it's hard to say. So I think we need to still be involved in their lives and still have discussions and pray for them. But I would say, though, at large, I am concerned with the state of Christian hip-hop right now. And I am concerned with the state of Christian hip-hop right now for a couple of reasons. I think any time you start talking about other issues other than, we have the liberty and we have the freedom to talk about other issues, and I think that we should, but anytime that becomes the main focus and the main goal, and I see it now where a lot of rappers, you know, they want to talk about social justice type of stuff, and I even have a song called The Gospel and Justice, like there's a need for justice on earth. There's also the need for the gospel to be shared. And so I think anytime our eyes are off of Christ and the eyes are on our sales, the eyes are on a lot of other issues that can sometimes distract us, then what I've seen is a large amount of drifting and a large amount of people falling away from the faith. like I said, Christian hip-hop is not a new phenomenon anymore. It's not necessarily the cool thing to do. And I think that, you know, at first it could be, hey, I'm going to stop talking about Christ in my rhymes. The next thing you know, I'm not talking about Christ at all in my rhymes or in my life. Next thing you know, I'm cussing on my tracks. And, yeah, you know, Jesus isn't the only way. And I believe some New Age philosophy or Hebrew-Israelite theology or whatever it may be, I've seen just a lot of drifting going on currently. So I am concerned with the state of Christian hip-hop presently.
I have to agree with you, man, because I was on, and I had this conversation with BRB. You know who BRB is?
I don't know BRB.
Okay. Well, anyway, the BRB was talking to me, and we were talking about how a lot of supposedly Christian rappers are definitely not representing Christ. I remember this one guy specifically who was smoking weed in a photo or whatever, and I questioned him on why he was smoking weed and calling himself a Christian. And then this dude had the nerve to say something about this is about sparking the fire within somebody and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, you smoking weed has nothing to do with sparking no fire in anybody for Christ. I'm like, you are completely just making a mockery of Jesus right now with what you did. That does not represent him at all. That's just one example. So then there was another guy I saw on Instagram who was saying F people, this, that, and the third, and all this kind of stuff. But then he's got this name that's like, it's like Jesus, but he put another letter instead of the J in his name. And I'm like, below he'll have all these hashtags, Jesus Christ, Christian hip hop, Holy Ghost, all this kind of stuff. But then he'll be saying that kind of stuff in his little caption underneath his photos or whatever, flipping the bird to people and whatnot. I'm like, wow, man, like what in the world are these people out here doing that claim to be Christian hip hop artists? And it seems to be only among so-called Christian hip hop artists, which is what's really bothered me the most about it, because I'm like, what is it about Christian hip hop artists or supposedly Christian hip hop artists that will cause them to do that when you don't see that kind of thing happening among people who are singers singing the gospel or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think that's about? You think, because I'm going to tell you one of my thoughts on that. I feel like one of the problems with a lot of these artists is they may come into relationship with Jesus, but one of the problems is they don't have anyone to disciple them or mentor them or whatever. And then based on their thinking that they have a gift to do something, they'll just start doing that, claiming that it's for Christ, but they're in either an I guess I can't call it unregenerate, but it's not mature. They're not mature in Christ, for one, and they don't have enough really knowledge of the word, and they're nowhere in their growth where they could even get out there and start to really represent the Lord like that. And so I feel like a lot of these guys, they just think they can just do music because they got a gift to do music. What do you think?
I totally agree. I think, you know, the word says those who endure to the end shall be saved, not those who get real hype for 2 years and put out an album get saved. And so I think what happens is, especially, I don't think that there still is semi-popular. I don't think it's as much of a quote-unquote trend, though. Or the cool thing to do to make Christian hip hop like it was maybe 10, 15 years ago that I saw. So that being said, I think a lot of people came in and they saw, yo, okay, there's this avenue. I could rap and I could get a platform and I get popular. So I'm socially accepted I'm influential, I can make money, all these things. And then what happens, you get all these other artists who are making a lot more money than you and get more streams than you and have bigger followings than you. And then inside in your heart, there starts to be some griping. There starts to be some jealousy. There starts to be some envy. And then what happens is it's like, God, why aren't you blessing me like you bless these other artists? Then pretty soon I've seen cases where that person totally falls away from the faith. And I think part of it is that the motives, and this has came up several times in this discussion tonight, but the motives have been wrong. The motives were camouflaged as, yeah, I'm doing this for Christ, but a lot of it was, I want to get the shine. I want to get the glory. I want to get these sales. And that became more important than walking with God and became more important than the faith. And I that's what I think, man. I think you're on point with part of that is a lack of discipleship and warning people as far as, hey, you're getting into this music thing. This is, there's going to be some heart battles that go on when you're getting into this. And this has been a theme of our discussion tonight. It's like, yes, promote. Yes, tell people. Yes, work on your craft. But ultimately, you want to do it for the Lord's glory and be content with the results. Because if not, I've seen it happen where people expect one thing. They don't get the certain sales or numbers they want, and then they get bitter at the church, you know. And that's not the way to go.
I agree, man. So I know that you were talking about being concerned about the future of Christian hip hop. What are some of the core concerns that you really have for that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a number of artists over the last 5-10 years completely fall away from the faith that once their music was, you know, would seem to be quote unquote solid and good teaching in it. So I would say I'm concerned that the main thing is no longer the main thing. So I spoke earlier about the liberty, the freedom, but I'm concerned that we could get at large get too caught up in the numbers and in the hype and lose the message. Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I don't know the reason for this. I don't know of too many younger cats, and I'm saying like let's say early 20s or whatever, that are making solid biblical worldview like Christian hip hop, where I feel like I could learn something. And so I just don't. And I talked to Fanatic about this one time. I was like, is that because we didn't, and, you know, Fanatic goes to my church too. I'm like, is that because we didn't, you know, take the time out and pour into this guy or this guy? And he was saying, he's like, no, I don't really think it's that. It's just the certain, there's not this amount of guys who want to rap that type of style. Does that make sense? So when I say that style, I'm talking about, like, if you think about Cross Movement or Redeemed Thought or Shy, that like you're teaching your dope hip hop, creative hip hop, but like you're teaching something. I don't know of too many young dudes who are doing that who are super talented right now. I know that there's young guys who have followings and all that, but I'm concerned that I don't see that right now.
So let me
maybe I just don't know about them.
Yeah. Maybe I just no, don't know well,
they're out there. And I don't know.
Well, I agree with you, but I want to kind of bring up something that I believe is actually a good point to make at this moment. Now, when you think about, I'm going to just say worship music. Let's say a worship song by, let's say, a Hillsong or maybe, you know, Bethel or something like that. Like, they got certain songs that are out there, and their songs are not necessarily teaching anything, but they are about just, they're just a way to connect to the Lord. So the question is the purpose of Christian hip hop to teach somebody, or is it to just convey a message, or to make sure that people are pointed to Christ, or what? Like, what is the purpose? And if a person is calling themselves a, because, you know, I'm sure you're aware of that whole argument or the whatever conversation about, I'm a Christian that raps, or I'm a rapper that's a Christian. You know what I'm saying? I remember, I don't know if you've heard that, but I'm thinking you did.
Of course.
So the point is that, okay, and this kind of goes back to what we were saying a little earlier. Like, you're rapping, and you might rap about coffee. Does that mean you're less of a Christian hip-hop artist because you rap about coffee? No, because the form of expression is called hip-hop. And if you just happen to be a Christian that is doing it, then good. But it's kind of like, you know, Brand Nubian back in the day. You know, Brand Nubian, unless a person really knew what they were doing, they didn't know that they were 5%ers. They just knew that they were rappers who would talk about some stuff in their music that sounded a little different from some other people. And then after time went by and you started to hear more and more about them, then you're like, oh, so what they were doing was teaching their teachings in certain ways through their music somehow. Sometimes they would put it in there some kind of way. But most of the time it was just like they were just rhyming about normal stuff or whatever. And you would just, you know, hear, like I said, here and there be some kind of they would drop something in there. So like I was asking earlier, in your mind, in your opinion, do you feel like, because I think you kind of touched on this earlier, but I'm guessing I'm just trying to crystallize more. Like, do you feel that there's a specific purpose for Christian hip hop, or are you feeling like there needs to be a mix of certain things because of the type of way of expressing that it is?
Yeah, I would say there is a specific purpose of Christian hip hop. The specific purpose of Christian hip hop is to glorify Christ. That's the specific. Now, how that looks, I think, is going to be different based upon different individuals. I kind of tend to gravitate towards multi-syllable rhymes, super clever punchlines, you know, similes, metaphors, wordplay, stories, and also I do like some Christian hip hop that has certain teaching. And so my statement before saying, like, I don't know a lot of young cats who are doing that. That's kind of like a preference thing. Every guy. All right, I'll give you an example. If I'm in the gym sometimes, I want to get hype, I might listen to some Thizzle, and he's not like teaching a ton of doctrine. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if I'm trying to hear some parables and stories and real witty lines, I might listen to Evangel. You know, if I want something that's like aggressive and super dope biblical worldview, I might listen to some Bizzle, or I might listen to some Lavoisier. I might want something heartfelt, I might listen to some Seven. And so I think that there's room for different creativity within Christian hip hop, and people can be themselves and have these different platforms that give it variety. But ultimately, the goal of Christian hip hop overall, like you asked, is to glorify Christ. And so it all has its place. The main concern is when you're never mentioned in Christ ever, song after song, album after album, but then, you know, you kind of alluded to this, you're in your hashtags, Christian hip hop, Christ this, Christian, you know, it starts to be like, all right, what's your real message here, you know?
Okay, now that, I'm glad you said it that way, because there was an artist that I spoke to one time, and this is not a Christian hip hop artist, it's a singer, and she's singing a style of music that does not talk about Jesus. But in her backdrop, when she's dealing with like people in the music industry and stuff like that, they all know that she's a Christian. They all know that she has certain standards that she will not compromise, and they will not try to cause her. They will not try to cause her to do anything that will go against her, relationship with Jesus and stuff like that. But that's something where she also has an opportunity to share Christ and to be a light within that arena, that realm. And when she was telling me about it, it made me think about if I work at, I mean, like, for instance, you work at a university, you're doing strength training, all this kind of stuff. That's nothing that has anything to do with Christ. Does that make you not a good, Christian representative because you're not doing something that's specifically for Christ in that? Or is it you are doing something that you are able to bring Christ into? You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll say a few things. I think that sister who's doing it that way, I think she has that liberty to do that, and that's fine. She could be a light. She might be able to reach certain people that, let's say, my music might not be able to reach. My question is always, are you having those discussions behind closed doors? Because it's not in the music. So how often are those discussions happening behind closed doors? Hopefully they are. I don't know that. All right. But that is a question. I think it's a legitimate question as well. If that's like the thing, like, okay, well, I'm ministering to these people. I can get on this platform and that platform. Great. But the message isn't being conveyed in the music. So hopefully it's being conveyed through the relationships and behind closed doors. The second thing is I've always challenged artists to this. If you don't want to be called a Christian rapper, cool. Stop putting your stuff on Christian hip hop websites, blogs, promoting to that type of audience, and just, you know, it's kind of like you want the blessings from the church, but you want to diss the church at the same time. You want the blessings of Christian hip hop, but you're always dissing Christian hip hop. I have a pet peeve of that. I have a pet peeve of rappers who gained a lot of success off of Christian hip hop and that audience, and then diss that audience and spit in their face. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop hashtagging everything Christian rap if that's not really what you want to be identified by. Stop trying to get the same sales from that and just really, okay, I'm fine. I'm a quote-unquote secular artist. Okay, then let them support you. You know what I'm saying? Then the last thing I would say, and I've had discussions with different people about this, is music by nature is vocal expression, right? And so if you have the liberty, you're making your own music. You have the liberty to talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you're employed at Best Buy at the register, you have a certain task to do that's often unrelated to Christ. You can glorify Christ in your job. You could have side conversations about the gospel at your job, but you have certain duties that you have to do that aren't going to involve words like that. If you're a plumber, if you're an electrician, you have certain duties that you have to do that job that aren't involving words. Music by nature involves words, involves lyrics. So you don't have to rap about Christ and the good news, but I do think if something's very important to you, it's going to come out and get conveyed somehow. You know?
Yeah.
But that would be my thoughts on some of those issues.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you said it that way, because this particular person I'm thinking about, you can hear there's definitely a Christian type message through what they're saying. It's just that it's in a form where it's kind of like a parable instead of it being like, you know, right in your face, this is what it is. I mean, even when you look at Jesus, it wasn't like Jesus was like, yeah, well, I'm going to tell you a story about how God did this and that and blah, blah, blah. Like, he would tell a story that it was just about something normal, like, you know, just giving an example of how things work in the kingdom. But he's basically telling a story to convey the message because people can relate to the story. So I think that there's the time for, like you said, there's a time for the in your face, this is the gospel, and then there's a time for, I'm going to give you a parable that will, you know, eventually possibly get you to ask me questions or whatnot. So, I definitely see it both ways. So anyway, man, at this point, do you have any kind of last words of wisdom or whatever that you would like to leave or drop specifically for, you know, other artists in Christian hip hop and or just people in the audience that are listening?
Yeah, last thing I would say is aim to make stuff that glorifies Christ in unique ways. I think there's been a lot of songs made that can sometimes maybe seem repetitive. Think of new, fresh ways to go about spreading the message of Christ. Be creative. I'm always big on creativity. Creativity, but not losing sight of the message, is the last words for me.
You know what, man? You just made me think of one more thing. I got to ask you this, man. What would you want your legacy to be in Christian hip-hop?
That's a great question. I would say I would want people to look back on the music that was made. Because at this point, I've done 7 projects. There's been some mixtapes, but overall 7 projects. I would want people to look back and say that he made music that really touched my heart, that really made me change the way I thought about things and emotionally took me to a place that brought me closer to Christ. And when I say emotionally, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm not saying that like emotional manipulation, but I'm just saying that music as a tool, it sparks emotion in us. So I would say that I would hope that the legacy would be that people would look back and be like, he made creative music that was very heartfelt, that deepened my relationship with Christ.
That's what's up, man. Well, tell people how they can follow you on social media, how they can, you know, get to your music to download, buy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Instagram and Twitter, Believe in Steven, at Believe in Steven. And I know some people, you know, they might not have done the best in spelling class. It's B-E-L-I-E-V-I-N There is no G, so it's Believe In without a G, Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Instagram, Twitter. They can look up the music, any outlet, search Believe In Stephen, YouTube, search Believe In Stephen, and, yeah, hit me up on any of those forms.
And is that also how they would book you if they wanted to have you for a show, or do you have an email address you want to drop?
Yeah, email's preferred. If they did hit me up on there, I'll probably, you know, say, hey, can you send me an email? My email is stephenbrindle@gmail.com. Stephenbrindle@gmail.com. So the Brindle, I already spelled out Stephen. Brindle's B-R-I-N-D-L-E. And that's @gmail.com.
All right, fam. Well, I just want to say thank you for being on my podcast, man. I really appreciate it. It was really nice being able to chop it up with somebody that has been in the game as long as you have and been, you know, doing it right, doing it, you know, just grinding, man. So I appreciate you being on here with me.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate the discussion. I think we covered some good, timely topics, so was a blessing, man.
Yeah, so for all you that are listening, you know what it is. You've been listening to the New Numa Godcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook. Also, make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast on all of your, any of your favorite platforms. We're on them, all the major ones, iHeart. We're on Podbean, Apple, Google, all these different platforms. So make sure you follow us and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you for listening again. This is your host, Norm. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.